Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is Dukes and Bell, guys. We get a chance to talk to Jason Longshore each and every week. Follow him on Twitter at Longshoe. It's brought to you by Heineken. Heineken 0.0, great taste, zero alcohol. All right, let's just jump into it, Conti, because what happened? Well, what's going on with our club right now?
Individual mistakes, killing you. I mean, overall in this match, Atlanta played pretty well. I mean, let's be fair here. Seattle has not lost at home since September 29th of last season. Only two teams have come in and got a beer. But this was a game that, on the balance of it, felt like a draw would have been equitable.
Right.
But it's two individual mistakes. And there were just moments in the game, and this has been too much of a recurring theme, where the play swings against Atlanta after key moments. And you look at the giveaway that leads to the first goal, it's amazingly taken by Raul Ruiz Diaz. You can't take anything away from the actual goal, but it's a giveaway at the top of the 18 by Julian Gressel in a moment where you just need to clear that, bomb it away, reset. Second one, it's a giveaway from Leandro Gonzalez-Pires, and I think the more distressing part about it for me was after Atlanta found the equalizer on a set piece, Joseph Martinez, great header, great service from Pitti, Seattle had three chances pretty quick,
right,
and then they got the go-ahead goal right after it. There wasn't that lift from the goal that you need to see.
And that's the thing, Jason, defensively, you know, it's Escobar one day. He didn't have a great game. We talked about Miles, you know, against Red Bulls a few 2 weeks ago. So every game, and LGP you talked about with the turnover, I guess from a fan standpoint, I get it. Seattle's got a tremendous, you know, home field advantage. But as the game went on longer and longer, like, we can hang with these guys. Ship was missing golden opportunities for Seattle. And then, you know, Gressel had a bad day too because he didn't really do what he needed to do.
Yeah, it's frustrating because I do feel like Atlanta was hanging with Seattle. And that's a place that, again, it's just not easy to get points there. But Atlanta played a game that should have gotten them a point. And it's the individual breakdowns. And it's not the same individual breakdowns. And I think that, you know, that's an easier situation. If it's one player, there's mistakes happening, okay, you can correct that. But it seems to rotate. And this one, it's Leandro Gonzalez-Pires, who's one of the best passers out of the back in the league, with just an inexplicable giveaway, just a complete mishit, and then you're exposed, and Seattle gets the winning goal.
It's Jason Longshore, guys, analyst for Atlanta United. It continues. Wednesday doesn't get any easier. Houston Dynamo come to town, and as a matter of fact, Mike and I will be doing the show from the Gulch. Pre-game starting at 6:30, kick at 7 on Wednesday down at Mercedes-Benz. I'm trying to figure out a way to say this, Jason, when it comes to Frank DeBoer's style. We were willing, and I'm talking about the 17s and the fan base, we were willing to give in, okay, to this because mm-hmm. we were better defensively. But now that we're not, I don't know about this style, and I'm getting back to this because when it was working and it looked like, all right, we're so much better defensively, and I get to about the individual thing, the breakdowns, but I look at this now and I'm going, okay, so what has to change for us to get back to where we were even just a few weeks ago?
But when you get to the style question, I think playing a more wide-open style, and let's get back into this one from yesterday. Atlanta had plenty of chances. That wasn't really the issue here. Justin Merrim created six chances on his own. But the more you open up, the more you're exposed. So if there's defensive issues right now where you're not playing a 50-50 kind of game where you're just playing direct as fast as possible, play vertical as fast as possible, and go run. One, this team's not built to go run. You don't have Miguel Almiron anymore, so that option's off the table. You don't have Tito Villalba right now because he's been out. You have to play differently, and you have to try to protect it. And when the defensive breakdowns happen, that's where we get into this conversation. Because I don't think opening the game up helps anything right now. And I don't think they're playing that defensive to begin with. Because the chances are there.
It is Jason Longshore, guys. As Carl mentioned, follow him at Longshoe. He'll have the call with Mike Conte right here. Pregame, 6:30, and we kick at 7 against Houston at Mercedes-Benz. We'll be down there in the Gulch tailgate and having a blast. It's very exasperating because we have a great run before the international break, and we just haven't found our equal footing. I mean, I know the win against St. Louis is good. We have the U.S. Open Cup to look forward to. But it's just so spastic and just so stop and start. I mean, is this a reflection of the coaching staff or just the players not doing their job or both?
Yeah, I don't think it's the coaching staff. The spastic part is definitely true. And that's what's frustrating about it is spastic would have been the last word I would have used to describe this team in late April and into May. Because they were very composed. They were very organized.
Right.
They were very controlling. And now you've lost that. And you're getting into some of these 50-50 matches where it is back and forth. They hung with Seattle, a really good team yesterday, in a fairly 50-50 kind of match. Could have done better in the attacking end, but they were creating the chances. Needed to do much better defensively because both goals are off of individual mistakes.
Miles Robinson got off to a great start this season. We were talking highly of him, and we continue to. Why is it seem like he's regressed?
I don't know if I'd say he's regressed, to be honest. I mean, he's the best defender Atlanta's had. I think he's been the most consistent one. Can you play at your 100% highest level through a whole 34-match season? No, it's impossible. You're going to have some drops. But I think Miles has been the most consistent. We haven't seen these major issues with Robinson, and that's helped a lot. What I'm wondering about now is you're getting into a situation with the injuries on the outside, in the back. Now you've had Breck Shea go down. Mikey Ambrose wasn't an option yesterday because of a hamstring. We haven't seen George Bello in a long, long time.
Right.
Franco Escobar with the yellow card suspension on Wednesday. You have a real significant problem at the moment at fullback. And you're going to have to figure out what to do quickly because I don't know Breck Shea if he's going to be back quickly. You know, he's going to get checked out. Hopefully it's not any knee issues. That was the concern coming out of yesterday. But everything else, it's just such a struggle to field a consistent back four. And you're going to play better if you have consistency back there.
It's Jason Longshore. And by the way, we've got breaking news, Jason. We'll talk more about this just coming up. But Grady Jarrett, Carl, does have his deal. According to Adam Schefter from ESPN, a 4-year, $68 million contract. Ooh. More on that coming up. But
that's
Grady,
great news.
Grady does get his deal with an hour and 10 minutes to spare. So it might sound a little crazy, but it does free up more cap space, big picture for other players. But it is a big number. All right, speaking of which, maybe we need to pay the refs more. Maybe we need to find other refs. I don't know. The yellow card on Escobar, it was a 50-50 ball. There's no maliciousness there. It's a guy just trying to get up and get some air to get the head on the ball. We saw the Red Bulls in NYCFC, a ridiculous play that resulted in a goal. These pro refs are brutal. And you can't appeal that yellow card, right? We're screwed with this.
You can't appeal yellow card. And that's maybe the worst call I've seen since Atlanta United started because Franco Escobar has to go play that ball in the manner that he did. There's zero that he did wrong in that situation. He's going straight to the ball to win it. Roldan comes out of nowhere from the side and is late, and Escobar wins the ball. And for the referee to say afterwards, according to Leandro Gonzalez Pires, that it was a red card play, well, one, if it's a red card play, why aren't you showing a red card? Two, there's not even a foul there. So how is it a red card play? That's what's frustrating about it if you're Atlanta United, because this is not the first time. It probably won't be the last time. And it was a match where 10 minutes before that, right before the second goal, Nicolas Ladero comes in late showing his studs on Joseph Martinez and spins him around, and there's no yellow card. That's where it gets so frustrating, and I think that does affect the focus. It's really easy to say you have to block that stuff out, but when you know that now you're going to miss Escobar for Wednesday, it does affect you.
Jason, I heard you going in yesterday on the broadcast about Pity Martinez not being able to get calls in this league. Do you really feel that way?
100%. He's breaking away in the attacking half, and he's being grabbed from behind and brought down. There's no call. And this has been consistent. Pity Martinez is on the ball a lot, does not get the calls that I think other players of his stature get in this league. It's very frustrating. And those things add up. Are we frustrated with Pity Martinez after yesterday?
Well, I thought, you know, the set piece you talked about, he gave great service. And Joseph got more air than like an NBA guy in a slam dunk contest with a header. That was a thing of beauty. But I mean, like, that's just it. We get scratched the surface. You see what you can see the brilliance in Pitty's game, but it's almost like him constantly getting mugged takes him out of it, you know, or not getting back up, which I know drives DeBoer nuts and get back on defense. The analogy Carl and I talked about last week, I said it's like when Michael Jordan was coming up in the NBA and you watch him get mugged by the Pistons. You want to see the athleticism, but you're not getting to see it.
Yeah, that's a really good comparison. And that's what it was in the last couple of years when it came to fouls on Joseph, fouls on Miguel Almiron. It's frustrating that it feels like these things happen. Now, one of the reasons that these moments are happening in matches is Atlanta's signing very talented players who are creating these 1v1 opportunities. And teams are going to have to make a decision to either go in physically, go in and foul, or if they can win the ball, great. But too often they're not. And too often Atlanta players are getting fouled. And when you see a match like yesterday where Atlanta's picking up all the cards, Nicholas Ladero doesn't, Pity Martinez doesn't get that foul call. There's things like that that just add up, and it's frustrating. But what's happening too often is that frustration is then leading to mistakes on the field. That's the part that can't happen no matter what.
Jason, great job as always, man. We will see you Wednesday down at the Benz as we get ready for the Houston Dynamo to come in here. We'll talk to you.
Looking forward to it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.